welcome to 2020. My name is Adam Cook. The podcast name isn't 2020, it's the God is a Geek podcast. But it's 2020. Happy New Year. I can only say that this one episode, and I've got some people here with me, so I'm not just talking alone, because that wouldn't be much of a podcast, and I have not spoke to them for ages. Welcome, Christopher White.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. You are, I mean, if only we'd had like 13 hours to chat to one another, we could have got so much done, man.
I know, man. I know. But that's such is life, eh?
Oh, Chris, have you got a cold?
Mate, I'm rampant with a cold, yeah.
Chris, it's fine. No, Chris, the listeners don't want to hear about your sickness, mate. Tell them how great you are.
Well, they should already know that. But, yeah, I'm great.
You win. No, you that's a good point. You're right.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, bless. Bless his heart, Adam Carroll. How are you?
Happy New Year.
The dichotomy of... Yeah.
2020.
Yeah, I know. Mad. I know. I was sat in a car, right, looking at a shop window. It was a cafe, okay, mm-hmm. a few mm-hmm. days after New Year's Day. So about in fact, it was just about the 2nd of... It was the day after, now I think about it. It was the 2nd of January. And I was looking at this window, and I was looking at it going... That's really weird, you know. They've got someone's obviously had a birthday, I was thinking. And they've had it, you know, it sucks it's this close to Christmas, New Year's, but you know, birthday's a birthday, you have it when you have it. And they've got this these gold balloons, you know, their 20th birthday. And I carried on looking, it's really strange. Like, why would they get two sets of balloons for their 20th birthday? One in gold and one in silver. You know, it's weird. It just looks like, you know, they're 2020 years old, and the penny dropped. It was nothing to do with a birthday. It's 2020 now, isn't it?
There we go. Mind
and
blowing.
And that's how, if our listeners are wondering, that's how my holiday period went, pretty much, in a nutshell.
Looking at balloons,
not really aware of anything or anyone. But I am aware of you two, and I am aware video games are coming. But as is tradition... Probably, I can't remember. Chris, is it tradition? I don't know. Have you guys been playing anything over the Christmas period?
Plenty.
Anything, you know, that you would like to talk about? Because I have, but I don't want to, you know, steal a lead and talk about it. You know, Adam, if you'd like to tell us about what you've been playing, perhaps.
I'll quickly go over two games, because I'm pretty certain you have also played... I have three games to talk about
here. It's really concerning to me, Chris, because there's one down on this list, but Adam's got three games suddenly, and now I'm worried they're kind of like some sort of Japanese
I'm gonna run over this quite quickly here.
Okay.
I ended up playing Knowledge is Power. It's not new, it's the parody game that's like for PlayStation. I think it's from the makers of Buzz. I don't know.
Have they released a new version of it then?
Well, I got Decades. It's like...
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know what the story is. Basically, it's like Knowledge is Power is there. Group of friends are like, what's this? It's this quiz game.
Adam.
Yeah?
I've got to stop you, mate.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's a question that's going to be going through our listeners' minds that's going through mine right now.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just play one of the Jackbox games?
Well, I did also play one of the Jackbox games, but I'll be honest, I don't think I'm that much of a fan.
Which one did you play?
I think it was either 5 or 6.
There you go.
The earlier ones are better. I haven't played 6 yet, actually.
6 is pretty bad.
Is that the one with the like murder?
Yeah, there is a murder mystery one in the murder party one in the new game.
There's a murder one in that. There's also like some joke one where you have to like, it's fucking balls. It's
that
like,
joke one is horrific. It doesn't make
terrible.
Any sense.
It's
the stand up comedy one.
Yeah, it's so bad.
You guys are breaking my heart. Why didn't you just play TKO or something like that?
I don't know. Look, I went for Knowledge is Power. It was there, okay. And I'll be honest, not the worst. Like, I give a good bash off of the base game.
Okay, there's the podcast title for this week. Thank you, Adam. Please carry on.
Like, do you know, I'm a bit on the fence when it comes to quiz games. And, like, this was there. We downloaded the apps. We jumped in. And it was, like, I think each match is around 20, 25 minutes in length. And, like, it has some variety of questions, which was very surprising because I thought I was going to see a lot of, like, I still to this day haven't seen the same question, and I've played like a lot of this just like while having beers over at a friend's place.
Do you think they'll bring back, like, you just made me think about, like, because I remember Chris not liking this. Like, didn't you review it and it wasn't?
It was all right. It was all right, but then if this is a new, because I don't know if it's a new version or what.
But well, I was going to say is, do you imagine, because obviously, you know, this year's going to be dominated in the lead up to the new consoles and stuff. Like, I wonder if we'll, like, see a resurgence. And like, I was thinking about, I mean, one of the games, I'm jumping ahead, but one of the games I'm talking about, in fact, two of the games are kind of throwbacks to old generations of success. And I was just thinking, like, do you think PS5, do you think maybe they'll go bring up like SingStar and Buzz and...
Buzz, I could certainly see them doing something with, like...
But this kind of is Buzz, isn't it? I mean...
I think this is the new... Like, it's just... It's all your phone, like, that's it, you know? So, yeah, got like, played a good bit of this. And I'll be honest, like, the little, like, mini-games that you would call them in it aren't great in the base game, but in this, like, expansion, Decades, definitely an improvement within the mini-games. And... I think, like, what's really fun about it, I'll give a credit for this, like, is the questions that, the categories that you'd see, you'd be always like, oh, fuck, I don't know anything about that. But then you're actually very surprised, like, when you go into these categories, you'd be like, oh, I actually do know this answer. So I think it's kind of well-balanced in that sense. It's not, like, essential. It's just I ended up playing this quite a bit with friends. And, yeah, it's a bit of fun. I also just want to briefly mention Luigi's Mansion 3. I finished it and it is superb. I just loved it. I actually, do you know what? It's one of those situations now where I'm like, God damn it, why didn't I do this before Game of the Year? This happens. You always have games that kind of roll over. I think this is an amazing game. It's hands down the best of the three. There's no argument there. I think.
So I've seen some arguments saying it's too linear. Like, you know, you go to a floor, there's a thing. I liked that about it.
I love
because I love that idea of you come out of a floor and you're like, what's it going to be?
What's the theme?
There was only one that genuinely wound me up, and it was the desert one. Not desert. Yeah,
the sand.
Yeah, because I actually took, again, you know, first world problems. Sometimes when you're, Chris, you know, you'll know this firsthand, when you're reviewing a game before it's out, you've got no one to turn to if you're stuck because you're the only one you know playing it.
Yeah.
And I could not work out how to get into that pyramid. And I'll be honest with you, I can't remember now how I did it. And then in the pyramid, I got stuck on one of the puzzles in one of the little rooms that are like, where the kind of rooms close in on you. I got stuck in one of them. I'm frightened I'm not going to be able to finish this game. But that was it.
Like, I did hear a couple of, like difficulty spikes is... I'm using that term loosely because it's not an overly challenging game, but you do get a bit stumped, especially when you have to use Guigi in certain areas. There's definitely one... There was one boss fight I was on, and... it ended up being like Guigi was at the bottom floor and Luigi's at the top, and I kind of had to work using the two of them, but also watching these like beams going around in a circle constantly and not hitting me. That wasn't really, it's not great when you're on your own. It's manageable, but it's not great. I think visually it's just unreal. It's just unreal. And we did mention this also, obviously, on our Game of the Year, but I think it's definitely the best. It absolutely, if it's going to have a fort, they still need to work on the controls.
They do, but I also don't really need a fourth for a good, I think, well, like 2022 almost. I don't need another one of these for a while.
I think if they were going to release a fourth, the controls have to be tightened up, definitely. But
I'd rather they did DLC and added like another four floors.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying. No, I was just like, give me more floors, because the floor idea was just, it was just great. The last boss battle is a bit much, I feel. It's still a bit of fun. But other than that, like, you know, after the initial first hour and a half, I think, the game just takes off and you're just, you're just the biggest, like, arsehole. You're just sucking up everything, you know, and it's just, it's just it's a joy to play, and Luigi's just funny in it. And
a question I meant to ask you, actually, on Game of the Year when we talked about this game, is because obviously, again, I played it sort of pre-release, and then by the time it's out, there's other things to talk about, and I never got around to asking. Chris, I think you played the opening of the game, haven't you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, does everyone? Oh, I don't know if I want to admit this, or if it's going to make me seem really stupid. Did everyone get a little bit stuck in that parking lot until they realised that the door was sort of the screen? You walk into the screen.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
I've not played loads of it, so I'm still on that bit.
You know what I mean though, right, Ad? You're in the parking lot and you're walking around and you know you've got to go somewhere.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The way out is that the door is kind of... Because it's been 2D and the door's 3D, kind of, you walk, there's a little line on the floor and you walk out and he opens the door and you're in the hotel and it's like, I spent ages trying to find that.
I do feel that the opening area, and as I said, the opening hour and a half in general is probably the biggest the game actually gets in its design. And I feel when you start off, it's not the best because you're kind of going, right, so is this going to be it? Do I have to spend like the bones in 20 minutes just sucking up everything? And you don't, like, obviously, but it's just way, the design is way better as the game goes forward. It's quite a meaty game, I have to say. Like, I finished it in about 14 hours, which is kind of mental.
12 to 14, I'd have said.
It's another one that I just think, like, yeah, absolutely get it. Best of the trilogy. You do not need to play the other two.
No, not at all.
Just you know, it's
it gives you a little bit of context if you've played it before, but you don't need.
But you don't need to. I will say as well, absolutely, and we've all seen this, but the opening title credits and how they do it is fantastic. I think it's very enjoyable. If you're wondering, I think this sold incredibly well over Christmas as well.
Yeah, rumours are that... Well, I don't think it's rumours. I think it's been confirmed. It sold incredibly well. Like,
yeah.
To the point where it sold so well, it's like, there will be another one. Because it sold so well. But then isn't that every Switch game at the moment, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm all for it anyway, and I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah. So that was Luigi Mansion 3. I'll wait to talk about my final game. So,
okay.
Chris...
Yeah, go for it, Chris. What have you been up to?
So, 2020, New Year. I've been playing a game... 3 years old, well, 2 years old over Christmas.
WWE 2K20, I'm here, I hear you.
yeah, I couldn't play it on New Year's Day.
You did hear, I had to get it in, I had to ask the wrestling fans, did you hear about this?
Yeah, man, ridiculous. So so anyone that's listening, I think
is
so.
Is that definitely, okay.
The thing is, the good thing with Twitter, one of the few things that's good about Twitter, is that when something trends, you get to see a lot of responses and a lot of things to do with what you're looking for. So I had a look through, and yes, this is a thing. So there is a bug in WWE 2K20 that means when your clock reaches like midnight on the new year, it becomes unplayable. However, the fix is to completely change your clock on your Xbox. This is, I don't know if you could do it on the PS4, back to 2019. So if you're dying to play the bug-riddled fucking mess that is 2K20, you can adjust your clock to play it. But yes, it basically is broken now. I don't know if it's been fixed. You'd think so 3 days in, but who knows? But yeah, so
what have you really been playing? Adam, had you heard this, by the way?
I did.
Okay, sure. I thought you might have. Sorry, yeah. Chris, go on. What have you been playing?
So I've been playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 Celebration Edition.
Excellent. Well, I was going to say excellent game. I haven't played whatever that is.
Yeah, so the Celebration Edition is everything that's come out so far, including all the skins, the... characters, everything, basically all the content that you would have got in by spending stuff earlier.
350 plus unlocks apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, if you're a fan of all the emotes, all the outfits, all the appearances, which I am, like I'm loving it, then it's perfect. But like the game itself, like playing when it came out originally, like it was like great. It felt great to play, but like with Battlefront, it felt quite empty, and I never really went back to it. And now, like, it's ridiculous how much how many maps, how many modes. It like it's fantastic. And like I don't spend a lot of time with multiplayer games. I think the most I've spent since Modern Warfare 2 was with Overwatch. But I've literally any time I've had outside of not being at work is pretty much been on this. Like I love it. I think it's fantastic. And there's a new mode, the Capital Supremacy, I think that's what it's called, which is basically like I'm trying to think of the names on Modern Warfare and Battlefield and stuff, but it's basically where you have to take over certain points, like there's A, B, C, D, and E, like, and you go over there, and once you've captured it, it's Capture the Flag, is that it?
There is a mode called Capture the Flag,
That might be what it is, but you'll go to a point, you'll get control of it, and then it'll turn blue, and then you have to capture all your points, and then once you've done that a certain amount of times, you then get taken to this big Star Destroyer in the sky, or whatever ship it may be, dependent on what mode you're playing or what era of Star Wars you're playing. And then it becomes like another game within an aircraft or within a spaceship, which is a lot more close quarter combat. But the thing is, right, that this new mode, I believe, came as part of the prequel update, which it follows like the Clone Wars, and it brings in characters like Darth Maul and Count Dooku and General Grievous. And Anakin Skywalker. I know you know who all these are.
Of course you. Hey, we've been here before.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to retread old ground. Yeah, and my knowledge, really.
And it brings in like the Separatists, so the droids from Phantom Menace and stuff like that, and the clone troopers and all this. And it takes the battles. There's like big open war battles on Geonosis and stuff like that, and it's just amazing.
Yes.
And then there's like all the
new year, new jokes. I think it's time for new jokes.
Yeah, I think we need to. And then there's like the co-op. You've got like the co-op missions, which you play with three other players, and you do like similar
many of them. Because I was going to ask about this, right? I had a good bash, a small bash off of Battlefront 2 when it first came out, but it was one of the. I'm sure it was during a very busy period.
Yes.
That's another podcast title right there. but the thing is one of the things I was really excited about the new Call of Duty for is the co-op stuff, because I thought it was going to be like Spec Ops, like, do you remember? But the original Spec Ops, which is amazing.
Yes.
And it's not. So what's the co-op like in this? And when you say there's loads of, like, is there a lot of it?
So with the co-op, because I've played, the majority I've been playing is like the main multiplayer mode and the Capital Supremacy. The co-op, because there's been the Rise of the Skywalker update, they've brought in a new map from the new movie. But there's like a cycle of maps where I've been on, which is like the First Order one. So it's the Kylo Ren and all the new stuff. And then you go on to the like Starkiller base and you have to defend certain points. And there's like a slew of like waves of enemies that come at you and you have to kind of defend these points.
That does sound like the Call of Duty Modern Warfare co-op.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's not Spec Ops, but like it's a lot of fun because of the like because of the characters and the way that, I mean, they did this quite a while ago with how you earn the heroes in this game. Like if you remember Battlefront, the original, you found little tokens on the map, and that meant you could become a hero.
Yeah.
However, in this, if you're completing the objectives and you're getting enough kills, you get enough battle points to unlock the heroes or the reinforcements or a vehicle, depending on where you are. So like if you're defending your points and you get like 10 kills or something, you'll get enough battle points to unlock one of the heroes. So it's a lot easier to become one of the heroes or villains or whatever. So there's a hell of a lot of range in who you can have, because if you play like the First Order map, then If you're playing on like the Resistance side, then you're going to unlock Rey or you're going to unlock Finn. Whereas if you're playing for the First Order, then you unlock Kylo Ren, Palpatine, Captain Phasma, and then they've just released a new kind of reinforcement. So the reinforcements are like not the heroes, but like the battle droids from Phantom Menace, the ones that roll on the floor and roll, and then they stand up like a turret. Like this one, they've got like specialized stormtroopers, like the flamethrower troopers, But they've just released the Sith Trooper, which is the stormtroopers that are all in red and look fucking awesome. It's actually just, the I've one just on remembered. The main cover.
I've just remembered that it's been so long since I played this. I forgot. I was going to ask you, when you become a hero character, you go third person. I actually remembered this game is entirely third person or first person, isn't it?
Yeah, so...
If I remember correctly, you can actually choose how you want to play it.
Well,
I don't know about with the hero
character. I don't know about... Because I haven't changed... When I've been playing, I'm just playing the game as one of the soldiers, I'm just playing in first person, so I don't know if you can change that. But with all the heroes, it's all third person.
Yeah, they're third, aren't they? Yeah. That, I'm pretty sure you can play the whole game in third person.
Right, well, it makes sense, because it's incredibly well designed.
Yeah, it's there, isn't it?
And it's just really good. It fills
just Google it, but I'm
every
sure.
If you think the prequel films are shit, fair enough, but that you can't deny that some of the characters and some of the worlds and the stories, all the other Star Wars stuff, the Clone Wars animation's amazing, and there's a lot of good books out there and stuff featuring these characters, so there's a lot of good content there. I mean, the fact you get to play as them and stuff is brilliant. And then you've got Yoda.
By the way, sorry, Chris. You hold down on the D-pad to switch between.
Okay, cool. Right.
So there you go. Yeah. Anyone listening?
You've got Yoda. You've got Luke, Leia, Lando, Han Solo, Chewie. You've got
all the hits.
You've even got Boba Fett and Bosk, the other bounty hunter with the alien rubber face. There's just fucking loads, man. And now it's all there for you, and all these different modes are there. And the fact that the combat is so satisfying, and the sound and the audio, just little kind of melodies from the main themes of the Star Wars characters all kind of come in when you... the Kylo Ren theme kicks in when he appears, and then he says one of his quotes or one of his lines, and it's just cool. And the fact that I'm getting really good at it, I think that makes it a lot better. When I play Call of Duty, we've all spoken about, it's full of a lot of kids that are so reactive, and I'm not. I'm obviously 21 now. So yeah. I'm getting on a bit, yeah. And I think Star Wars, there's a lot of older people playing Star Wars because of the
they're the only ones that like it.
But I just think there's...
Everyone loves Star Wars.
I think a lot are kind of... there's not many young people playing it, I don't think. I don't know that.
No.
I don't think that...
Well, it's an old game. It is an old game.
Yeah.
Old game. You know what It's not a new game.
I mean, the thing with the only...
It's not even the newest Star Wars game, is it?
No. But the only downside, and this is... the fact that you've got everything to hand, there's not a lot to unlock. You earn credits and you'll earn stuff, but you can't really spend them. However, I mean, one thing that EA have done really well, that people aren't talking about because it's EA and obviously everyone hates EA, is there's new timed events all the time. And there's a lot of stuff that is hidden behind events. So there's certain outfits you can't that haven't been unlocked because they want you to play through these timed events, use Obi-Wan's force push so many times to unlock a new outfit, or use so many Luke Skywalker attacks to unlock his farm boy outfit from A New Hope. So there's a lot still there to unlock, and there's a lot of reason to try all the heroes instead of just focusing on leveling up just one. So I think there's a lot there, and it's I think it's constantly being updated, and this is one I feel like we missed out with the thing, but no one had played it for the game of the year, the live game. This has been, and it's going to be updated next year because they've already announced that they're putting in BB-8 in there, and there's a load more stuff coming. So yeah, I mean it's really good. I really liked it, and I'm glad that I've been playing it, and I will continue to play it, I think, until the reviews start rolling in. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, which is, real soon.
Yeah.
Very soon. I suppose I should say, I've had it's not a renaissance because they're new games, but I put this in the review, so I apologize if I'm treading a little bit of old stuff here, but something I've been intrigued about as Nintendo have started doing stuff like Labo was... Everyone saw the Nintendo Switch as the kind of, this is Nintendo's new thing. And it was very much kind of looked at, I think this is fair to say to both of you, I don't know if you'll agree, as the Switch is kind of, if the Wii U was like a Tonka toy, this is the Rolls Royce.
Mm.
It is taking the Wii U and going all the way with it, isn't it? You know,
mm. Yeah.
And as can be proved by the fact that, you know, the games on Switch, some, like, you know, I can't talk about it, but I've been playing Tokyo Mirage Sessions. That's a Wii U game, but I'm playing on Switch, you know.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that next week. But the thing I've been intrigued about is what they haven't done yet, although I had the feeling it was coming, is while they've left the Wii U behind and the Switch is the new upgraded Wii U, they've also kind of sunsetted the DS, but we haven't seen the DS part of their, you know, come forward. So when Ring Fit Adventure came out and you reviewed that, I thought, well, okay, that's the Wii. Like, they're trying to now, they've got their success with the Switch. They are now trying to do some of the Wii stuff. They're bringing Wii Fit back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I've been playing Ring Fit Adventure, and I won't dwell on it too much. I'm incredibly unfit, chaps. I started Ring Fit Adventure this morning, and I had to run to the shower. I was a sweaty mess.
It is good.
It's just incredibly well made. It's just a really nice game, and I hope I will stick to it. It does require more room than you realise, because there are
the positions you have to do.
Yeah, like, yeah. So Chris, I don't know how much of, obviously I know you played, I don't know how much of this exercise you did. When you're, a lot of it is you're running and you're using the it's a Pilates ring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? And you're using that to sort of suck things up and blow them and jump and, you know, do that sort of stuff. But then you come up against little enemies that you fight, and then eventually you come up against, like, the boss fight that you repeat. Mm. He's always too strong, sort of thing. And when you get to this stage, you can choose which exercises you want to do. So if you do, like, squats, you do, I don't know, 15 squats. But then, you know, that needs a cooldown, so you can't do squats again to attack him. You have to do, like, I'm forgetting the names of them, but when we lift the ring above your head and squeeze it.
Oh, yeah.
But then I would go back to the squats, because there's like a one that you have to get on the floor and, like, do knee thrusts or something. And I don't want to get on the floor and do those ones, so I haven't done any of them yet. And I'm intrigued. I'm quite surprised it doesn't force you to, but I guess it wants you to tailor it to your comfort levels. Yeah. But it's just really well made. I really like it. But the reason I mentioned about the DS and stuff as well is because what I've also played, and, you know, spoilers, you'll see the review by now, is they really are, I think, with Animal Crossing out in March, with Ring Fit, you know, the Wii kind of Wii Fit, now Dr. Kawashima's Brain Training for Nintendo Switch, which is a unwieldy long name for a game, but I guess it's descriptive, is on Switch. That's the 3DS stuff coming through. You know, they are now really consolidating everything into this Switch, which is amazing and exciting.
Is this, though, like the DS Brain Training or a new Brain Training?
It's a new one, but
okay,
it's also the DS one. So a lot of the games you played on the DS, like the you know, the counting, the Sudoku's in there, you know, all of that's there. What they've done is they've added new things that they can do because the Switch has other functionality. I actually think most of that's kind of, if you're talking hit or miss, I think most of it's miss.
Right.
So these Joy-Cons have got, one of them's got like an infrared sensor, hasn't it? In fact, you know, you use it in Ring Fit, don't you, to check your pulse? I don't know how accurate that is, actually. I'm not convinced that that's a particularly accurate way of doing it, because it's essentially using heat, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that's an accurate, I don't know, it might be accurate, but it didn't seem it. The numbers I saw didn't seem accurate to what the amount of physical activity I'd done. But with this one, so it's kind of weird, right? Because all the pictures of the game and the material is like a normal Nintendo Switch undocked. You know, there's the Switch itself and the Joy-Cons either side, but you're holding it sideways, right? So there's a Joy-Con up to, you know, top and bottom now, and you're holding it like a Kindle. I found that really uncomfortable, like a really uncomfortable way to hold it. And I'm like, well, I could just take the Joy-Cons off, and then I'm just holding this little tablet, and I've got the stylus that comes with the game, and that felt like a really comfortable way to do it. You know what I mean? And you know, my wife tried it, and like my kids tried it, and they all found it the more comfortable thing was just to hold this little, you know, this little touchscreen thing that fits in your palm of your hand almost, and use the pen. So initially I was just, it does ask you, it says, you know, can you use a Joy-Con right now? And every time I was like, no, no, no. And what that meant is I was often getting a lot of repeating training things. And because I was reviewing it, I was like, okay, I've got to do this really. I've got to do it. And so you get the Joy-Con, and it shows you, like, what in the corner, it shows you what the Joy-Con can see in a little square. And it's just not very accurate. You know, one of the games is...
Oh, that's a shame.
So rock, paper, scissors. So you've got your right hand and you're holding a Joy-Con, or the Joy-Con's balanced somewhere, and, you know, you go... Right, so it comes up with, like, a stone and you've got to beat it. So it's like, okay, paper. But it's just not accurate enough that sometimes it reads something you haven't done. And also you can almost barely move your hand, and it reads it almost wants you to get the correct answer. So another one of the infrared games is, I forget what it's called, but it's just like an adding game, an arithmetic game, and it'll come up with like pictures of fingers, like 3 plus 2. So you stick five, you know, your five out, and it reads them, and then like 1 plus 2, or 2 minus 1, or 5 minus 2, you know. But what you might get is, so you get 5 minus 2, which obviously is 3. Then you get that right, and before you've even taken your hand fully away, which I think I'm not even sure you're supposed to do, it will be like 2 plus 1, which is also 3, and you've still got 3 fingers there anyway. And you know, sometimes you're just moving your fingers around, and it just reads them as a correct answer, and you're like, oh, well, okay, fair enough. And again, it's just not accurate enough. And it's not like a knock against it hugely, because you don't have to do the infrared stuff. But I also had issues with the handwriting recognition, like with fives. So I don't know how you guys do your fives. I tend to go down, round, and then the top bit on.
Yeah.
But some people do start from the top and do it all in one motion. Mm-hmm. Now, there is an option in the menu to tell it, do you do 1 or 2 stroke? Another podcast title there. But it didn't seem to matter, and it wasn't. If it was just me, I could go, hey, my handwriting's shit. But it wasn't just me. It was my wife. It was my kids. And the thing is, although this is all, ultimately, it's a fun exercise to keep you mentally stimulated, it's annoying to get an answer wrong because it's read a 5 you've drawn, or an 8 you've drawn as a 9 or a 3, or just a number that you didn't write.
Did this kind of issue occur on DS?
So I don't remember it happening on DS.
I don't remember anything like that ever happening. No. I think like that game... like initially was received very well, and it was like, this is what it is, it's brain training, and it's like,
yeah,
there was never any problems out there. This is very strange to hear, like,
same.
Because like, as good as the Switch is doing and everything, it we're slowly, and it they're minute, but we're slowly starting to see issues within Nintendo games.
But I don't feel like I'm writing these numbers down and they're like, oh my god, he scrawled that, you know, it's like someone's throwing shit at a wall, you know, it's,
yeah.
I don't feel like it's that. I thought my handwriting's lazy but not bad. And overall there's just this feeling of, initially you're like, oh, this is great, I remember this is great, oh yeah, oh I'm 62, very funny, and I got it down to 40 and it felt like, oh yes, I got it down to 40. And then one sort of over the Christmas period, I was really tired. I had it feels really harshly weighted. Like I did really well in test 1, test 2 really well, and I just fucked test 3. Just completely ruined it. Really bad. And then it's like, it comes up and Dr. Kawashima appears and goes, oh, wow, you're really not doing very well. Your brain training is... And it comes up with 22. And I'm like,
what?
And then it goes, ha, only joking. And it was like 74. And I'm like, that's not funny.
Yeah.
Like, dark fucker.
Because
is his head just floating around the place?
Yeah,
still?
Yeah, it is.
Didn't give him a body.
No, I had done so badly on this test that I thought I'd actually gone. It was like 122, and that's why he was saying it's bad at 22. No, it was just like trolling me, and it's like this feels very almost un-Nintendo. Like it's not. It doesn't feel like it's encouraging me now. And the thing is. I don't think it's bad. I think it's a good price. I think it's like it's 20 quid less than usual. You know, it's not quite a budget title, but it's a cheaper title. What I felt was, although the new stuff doesn't really hit, okay, I mentioned that, it does feel like retreading ground. Like the Sudoku is,
yeah.
It's there again. But like my wife plays Sudoku on her iPhone, and she's got that in her pocket or her purse or on the sofa next to her. And that's the other thing here, right? Back when this all first started being a DS thing, smartphones were there, I think, but they weren't there, you know. And and now there's like 100 brain training apps on your phone if you want them.
That's like, that's the thing. I literally was about to ask you, like, is it too late for this? Like, how do you think this will sell? Because when I worked in GameStop, like during the launch of this first one on DS, it was just such a seller. Like,
yeah,
everyone was buying it for like their nan, their mum, their dad. Like, yeah, you know, it was just it was one. And I think Nintendo were even like, do you know what? Just fucking give it out with bundles. His brain training comes with it. Fantastic. Do you know? Like, is this a bit like, I think in order for this to sell. Yeah. Is it still that little bit too expensive? Like, I know you said it's not.
It could be maybe 5-10 quid. If it was 20 quid, I think it would fly off shelves. It's difficult because at first I felt so happy with this. Like, it was over Christmas and all my family, we were like, it's my turn, it's your turn. We was going around the room and it was lovely. And then one of the kids sort of didn't bother. A few days later, the other one didn't bother. A few days later, my wife wasn't interested and I was just there doing it because I had to, because I was reviewing it. And I think it's just not new enough. Once you play it, like, the stylus is good, but I was thinking, I wonder if the stylus is more, I'll keep this for Animal Crossing. And this feeling of, oh, it's nostalgic, you know, we're all playing this again. Now, you know, in a few months, we'll all be playing Animal Crossing, and I've no doubt we will be. But this particular brand of nostalgia, it was a bit like, we've done this, and I think people like myself who maybe had more free time and were less tired back then and had younger minds, I now play it and I'm like, oh, fuck me, could I have a day off being 55 mentally? Do you know what I mean? Could I?
Yeah. I'm will they bring out more brain training?
I don't think so. I think this will be it. I mean, there is something in the game that's like, I think it's out now, so anyone can see it. It's like World Championships is coming soon. Like, there's going to be some online stuff by the looks of it, which sounds cool. And they've got leaderboards where you can compare your scores against your friends and like people you've got online. So there is some modernization. Just, it's the actual game part. It isn't, I don't know. There's stuff here, like you say, it's surprising that the handwriting recognition isn't good. It's surprising that they've gone down the IR Joy-Con route when it's clearly not great, you know.
Yeah.
It would almost have been better to do something like the, you know, like in 1-2 Switch, Chris, like when we played it where you had to use the HD rumble to find out how many balls are in. Like, it's almost it doesn't seem very ingenuitive.
No.
It doesn't seem, I don't know.
They could have done something much different. Like, it just seems very much the same kind of thing, just with not as responsive as it was all them years ago.
It just feels a bit underbaked.
Mm.
I don't know, but I'm not down on it. Like, I'm not allowed to score it as per the embargo terms, but it's all right, you know? It's all right. I mean, I enjoy Ring Fit more, let's put it that way.
Mm. I'm really keen on trying Ring Fit.
I'm really pleased. I finally started it. It is a good workout, and you can tailor it. Like, pathetic as it sounds, like, towards the end of my first session where I was in the boss battle, I was like, Jesus Christ, I am actually going to either have to stop or I'm going to have to really push. I've got to push through this. And I did, and I was well happy. Like, I pushed through it, but I was like, wow, you look at other people playing it and you think, oh, what a cute cartoony game. And then you're playing it and you're like, fuck me, I'm unfit. Jesus Christ, how did I let myself go this bad? You know, and I know it's right after Christmas and I've got bad legs and knees anyway, but it's like, oh my God. I watched my wife do it and I didn't notice that she had to do like high knee lifts when you go upstairs. And when that came up, I was like, you've got to be joking. I'm not doing that. And then I did it. I was like, oh yeah. And it's quite satisfying. I have played some other stuff, but I'll leave it for another week because it could be very barren in the few weeks. We don't know. But I bought Bloodstained on Switch. I've been playing Yoshi's Crafted World. Way better, by the way.
Okay, yeah, cool.
But there is definitely one section when you go around the tower for the first time that's like, this is unacceptable. This is 15 frames. You can't be doing this. It's not a taxing game. Yoshi's Crafted World I've been enjoying, which I don't know if I'll talk much about anyway, so I'll just say it's lovely. What a lovely, lovely game.
Yeah, I must get on that.
And, well, Adam, we've both played the last game for this week's list, so I started Outer Wilds on Xbox when it came out.
Okay.
And I was vocal about this on the podcast. I fell off this game completely. I really didn't see what other people were seeing in it. at all. Like I you know, I've heard people talk about it as game of the year. I've heard people say it's one of the best games they've ever played, full stop, period. And so I was like, look, I have got all these people who I respect, and they can't all be wrong. And so I started it again on PC.
Okay.
And I have to say,
it's one of the best games you've ever played.
No, I'm not going to say that. hang on. Before we go to you, I'll ask a question. Chris, have you played this?
No. Never.
Fair enough.
No, but I love the look of it. But again, I've just never got around to it.
I think you should play it. I really, really strongly think you should play this.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass, isn't it?
Is it?
I'm fairly sure I saw it on Game Pass.
That's Outer Worlds. Is Outer Worlds?
I thought I saw Outer Worlds on there.
I don't know. But before I say what I think of it now, Adam, what do you think of it?
I'm playing it on PS4, and I've not finished it. Look, here's the thing. Same as you, Ed. It's like that game has just been, it's been talked about all year. More so to the end of 2019 is when I really started to hear about it. It's definitely because it was overshadowed by the Outer Worlds situation. But the thing is, like, you hear the hype, and as you said, you're kind of going, really, really, is this it? Is this the one, the best game ever made? And so I said, I'm going to have to go in and get this. And here's the thing, right, is with this type of game, I think
yes, it's on Game Pass, sorry. Go on, Adam.
Oh, whoa, that's amazing. With this type of game, I think a lot of credit has to go back to way back to the day of, like, say, The Legend of Zelda, the very first entry, where this game is designed, you're not fucking told much, you just go... and you discover and you figure stuff out, right? Now, personally, that kind of style of game, way back in the day, I have no interest in. And that's even saying the first Legend of Zelda. I appreciate it, but I just didn't have the time. I just couldn't. It was just, like, too vague in ways. And it was really until 2016, when Jonathan Blow released The Witness, that even though that game is as fucking vague as it can be, like, that game just did something for me where I was like, I'm so into whatever I just did there, and it sounds like something happened way over there, and now I'm going to try and find what just happened. And I'm just uncovering all these things. So when I started Outer Wilds, that's what it initially begins with. You are just there waking up. The dude is like, at a campfire, I'm roasting a marshmallow with him. I can keep doing it over and over and over for some reason. And I have to then, it was what seems like a little hub area at first. And then when I'm able to go way off into space and do my thing, you get that 22-minute loop.
I don't want to...
I won't say anymore than this.
What I'm going to say, spoiler. Yeah, go on.
Well, I don't really know what I can spoil because I'm still trying to uncover.
But all this stuff anyway. The thing is, right? That thing you just said—the 22-minute loop, right? And I know we don't want this to become like the Outer Worlds 2-hour podcast.
It won't be.
No. But the thing is, right? When I played it, I didn't know about that 22-minute loop, right? So when I first died, I had no clue why I died. And I've heard people talk about that as like, oh yeah, but you know, doesn't it just compel you to go and do it all again? It's like, does it? Fuck. It made me go, wait, so I've got a traipse all the way back to where I was, and I don't even know why I died. I just died. And I understand the we want to be mysterious, but I'm spoiling how I feel about this game now. Going back knowing a little bit more about it, I am thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying it because I know what the... So you have to meet this game on its terms, don't you? There is no part of this game that's going to say, come here, here's the tutorial section.
It doesn't hold your hand whatsoever.
You have to meet this game on its terms. But when you play it for the first time, or when I played it for the first time, I didn't even know what those terms were. Now I know its terms, now I know about the loop, which some might deem a spoiler, but now I know what this game is, I don't feel rushed or or like I can just play it. I can just because I know what's going to happen.
And I think that's what's like obviously these guys like and this crew who have made it, like they just love fucking space. They love space, and that's just what it is.
But
really,
I missed so much, man. You've just started it, so you knew about the loop, the time loop mechanic.
I did, and but
so
did you
find that you were like, right, oh shit, let's do stuff, run, because I didn't. Once I knew about it, I was like, well, I'm just gonna explore.
Because
like, I didn't find the zero G cave when I played it first time. I missed it.
I got that.
No, I completely missed it, and I found it this time. I'm like, oh, this is cool. This actually teaches you the mechanics of flight, because one of the things I had the first time with it was like, this controls fucking terribly. This is bad. And then, but once you do the zero G training thing, which is literally a training course, you're like, oh, okay, I get how this plays now. How did I miss this? You know, I one of the first things I did second time was when I roasted marshmallows. Didn't do that first time. Looked down and realized I was one of those creatures as well. I realized what species I was. First time I played it, for some reason, I thought I was a human. Like,
yeah, like I see. I can see all these things, and at the same time, I don't know how to respond to it because I'm still uncovering my own path, and I get that loop thing. If I didn't play this and you told me the loop, I'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. Doing that over and over. To me, in a nutshell, what I've played this game so far is a fucking dynamite release.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this is... It is just magic in ways. I think there's been some occasions where I've kind of went, holy shit, so that's what that is. Okay. And for me, like, you don't rush this. You take it as, like,
absolutely.
You can have your objective. There is, like, certain
but
points.
But the thing is,
like,
if you know you've got 22 minutes, I can see people going, shit, run.
No, and you absolutely
don't
shouldn't.
No, there but, are, but that's you, the game's fault, not the user.
Exactly. You may have 22 minutes, but you can still fuck it up in 20, like within those 22 minutes.
You can die in 3 seconds. Well,
exactly.
Maybe not 3 seconds. Well, but I don't know. Can you run into the fire? I guess you could.
Like it's one of those games that I feel like it just opens your mind a bit more. And I think as gamers, I'm speaking for myself, definitely. I can't say as gamers, but for me personally, I don't know how much challenge or how much like learning I like within video games, because I've become so used to playing games that are just like this, and it's just action packed and off we go, and you know, I have it done in 13, 14 hours, or I might have a massive RPG that's just 60 hours long, but I know everything that I'm doing. This isn't like a meaty title, apparently, but it just feels like it. And I think when you initially set off, and I go to these planets, and I there was one planet, and it was just terrifying. And I was just there on my ship going, what is happening? Like, what is going on here? And you just get blown out of it. Like, and you all of a sudden you wake back up and you're like, what the fuck? Like, do I go back?
Even, you know the rumor board?
Yeah.
Missed that. First time I've seen it was today. Missed it. Yeah. And again, that is the kind of breadcrumb trail.
Mm.
Because you discover stuff and you see it. You're like, ah, I might be onto something. And there's this and there's that. Oh, and that is the breadcrumb trail. But I missed all of this, mate. I somehow all of this the first time I played it.
But there's all these things, like, even when, like, you can walk up and press it and then it opens up something. And you're like, what does this mean? Like, what does this layout, how does this work? Why am I... What am I reading? What am I checking up on? And what's this weapon I have? And well, not weapon, but
no,
thing.
Tool.
Yeah. Do you know tool? Like, what's this supposed to read?
Like, would you agree with me when I say that, like, Chris White, this Chris with us now, needs to play this? Like, I think this is
Chris.
Totally
Chris,
game.
I can guarantee you, it will be probably one of your favorite games.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Like, what you're saying sounds amazing. Like, I'm trying to get my head around it.
The thing is, man,
we're
also sort of saying nothing.
No, exactly.
If I'm honest with
you,
we're sort of saying nothing while saying a lot.
All right.
Like, I genuinely think of the three of us, this is more... It's like, imagine if No Man's Sky was a little bit smaller scale, but the mysteries were... The thing I will fact about No Man's Sky is that, like, you got to a place and you went and there was a bit of text and you're like, ah, cool, whatever. Imagine if they took that,
yeah,
scaled the game down a bit and gave it a different art style, but every time you uncovered something, it felt meaningful and impactful, and like it really and made you go, oh God, I need to know more about this. What's going on?
Yeah. There's something about like the people who've made this game, I feel like they have dreamt of this since they were a child. Like, I think, like, do you know that whole thing of like being a kid and thinking of space and like how it works and what's up there in the sky and all these things, and is there other fucking life on different planets? I think that's what they have always wanted to do. And like, everything down to even the incredible soundtrack, which
I forgot about that.
Just everything is so sweet and at the same time terrifying and baffling. But as I said, I'm still in the middle of it, and apparently there's so much that's going to make sense. And like, the puzzles alone, I can't even explain what I'm doing. Like, it's just, it's another thing to, it's what I'm saying about like The Witness. Like, even though The Witness puzzles are all very similar throughout, it does that thing where you'll move something or activate something and you're kind of there going, so do I, because you can take away certain items again, and you're like, so do I take this away or will I leave it here, or is there another thing that I can put this item into? And I think knowing you have those 22 minutes, it's really baffling, because you feel like, am I going to lose out on something or miss something here? And I don't know, maybe that's just the genius of the design within the game. I can't, like, I cannot wait to play more of it. It's hitting me in all the right spots.
It is me too now. The only thing I would say is, what I would recommend is, if, Chris, obviously not to you, because I know you can't play on PC, I would say the PC version, and I was playing on Xbox One X. At the time, I found it really didn't run very well. They may have fixed that. This PC version, it looks really nice. It runs beautifully. I would also highly recommend, if you can, to wear headphones, because when the soundtrack comes in and out, and when the surround sound hits you, again, it really enhanced my enjoyment of what... It's just... I don't know how... I feel really bad. Like, I feel like I let the game down because I missed so much that first time round.
Like, I don't... Man, it's not even that. Like, it's... I think you just have to be definitely in the right frame
and
of mind.
That may be it. It may be that I was just like, I'm not here for this right now. And now it's like... There's a... I don't want to tell a sob story, because it's like, I'm not complaining. But sometimes there can be... you know, this is kind of behind the curtain. There can be a feeling of, I need to play this, I need to play that. I have to be able to have an opinion on this. It's part of the whole podcast thing. And sometimes you sit down to play a game like this because you've heard so much that I got to play it to have an opinion. And what I needed was a period where, like this, where there's no games hitting my inbox that I can sit down and go, well, what do I want to go back to? Or what do I want to experience? And this is engaging and enrapturing in a way that I didn't get at the time, because I think there were probably 300 other games on my mind. Do you know what I mean?
I just to quickly mention, like, from what I've played as well, the it's very funny at times in its dialogue. Yeah. Like, there'd be like, definitely like down to like when the first loop happens. Like, you can go back and talk to it, and you can, like, this choice will just say, what happened there? Like, you know, and it's, did I just die or something? And it's very humorous how they respond back to you. Man, I don't know, like, I everything down to shapes and the planet design and stuff, and even down to fucking landing your ship, I'm like, am I even doing this correctly? Like, what is going on, like, in some ways? But...
Yeah. I mean, just...
That's the discovery.
It is. I mean, just to look at like our site, the same month we reviewed that, we reviewed Tetris 99. We reviewed Cadence of Hyrule. So there's some games coming. You know, it was June, so E3 had happened. Crash Team Nitro Refueled. F1, Judgment. These are all June games from last year. Sea of Solitude, Samurai Showdown, Bloodstained, Super Mario Maker 2. So we know where my head was at then, don't we? You know, Mario Maker 2 review was June 26th. On June 27th, we reviewed Outer Wilds and Bloodstained. So it kind of... Do you know what I mean? I think I know now why it didn't hit.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah, look... Chris,
I've never felt strongly...
It's essential.
Get this game queued.
I'm sold.
Yeah, I think, like, I I think it cost me €24, so whatever that
well,
is.
I can get,
you get an
Game
Xbox,
Pass,
mate, son.
So yeah,
yeah,
I'll just download.
Oh Jesus, of course. Oh man.
Yeah, you cost you nothing.
I will play this week. And I will have an opinion on it.
Whoa.
For the pod.
Listeners.
Do you know what I will say quickly, Chris, is this, if you were to sit down and give a person a double creative and out there experience, I would definitely say Outer Wilds and definitely Obra Dinn. These two games complement.
You've just said the magic words.
In terms of just like, this is, there's love and care and like a very, very good creative idea going on in Obra Dinn anyway. We can both
go on about that
all day long. Outer Wilds is, I feel the same, if not that little bit more, like, because of just the way it handles what it's doing.
Brilliant.
Man, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on
that. You just sold it, both of you. I'm going to give that a go.
Well, on that note, let's do a couple of listener correspondences. That's not a word. We'll start with a fun one. This is from Thomas. He wants to know, what is your reaction to the ice cubes in cereal thing? I'd especially like to hear Adam Zokes, your views on this one. Now, for those who don't know, Kiss singer, creative person, Kiss person, yeah, the Kiss person, the band, Gene Simmons has been on Twitter saying, hey, am I really the only one that does this? And there's a picture of him with, by the way, there's two weird things about this that I've not seen people talk about. But the weird thing is a cereal with milk in and ice cubes. But also, did you know, have you both seen it for starters?
Yeah, yeah.
Does anyone else not notice that he's put two different cereals in that bowl as well? There's two boxes of cereals. One looks like a sort of shredded wheat minis, and another one looks like well, I don't know what they're like, Oreo cereal, like, or something, you know, like little chocolatey circles. Mm.
He has a massive stock of like Kiss cereal. And he's like,
that's what it is. Ran out in 1985.
So I mean, I think that's weird enough. But what's your reaction to the ice cubes and cereal thing?
I just think it's just. It's not that it's rotten. It's just like,
no, it's weird though.
It's just a lot of effort, really.
Does he not refrigerate his milk?
I don't know. Like
how much colder does your milk need to be?
I don't fucking know. But he obviously clearly doesn't need Sensodyne or anything.
Well, that's true enough. Yeah.
Probably. Do you know?
I think it's weird as fuck.
Do you know what? Right. Like in regards to this cereal thing, like years ago, we. My family, we there was an exchange student thing, so we had this Spanish girl staying with us for quite some time, and I was really young, and I remember waking up and just looking, and she was having her cereal, but she poured, like, instead of milk, she used orange juice.
Okay.
And what? I was there kind of going,
cereal, though?
Just, like, cornflakes.
That's disgusting.
But, like, I don't know if it is.
Adam, I can quite confidently tell you it is.
Like, but that's the thing, you
with
see,
bits
so this
in
ice cube...
or not?
Huh?
The orange juice, with bits, or?
Oh, the bits now would be a bit much, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm saying. But it's your house, do you have orange juice with bits, or?
It would have been with bits, like, but I didn't
there you go.
Like, at the time, I wasn't looking at it going, oh my god, and it's bits. Like, I think it was about, like, 10.
But now you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
But I'm, like, I think that's a bit weirder than ice cubes. Do you know?
Well, it isn't, though, man, because, like, maybe she just really likes the taste. Something, you know, hey, listen, she was in your house, Adam. Was she pregnant? Maybe she just had a craving for orange juice.
I hope not. She was only, like, 14.
Okay, then. I missed that bit of information. I apologise to everyone listening. I'm not cutting that because I genuinely did miss that bit of information. I know you said you were kids, but it just didn't... Whatever. We're past
Don't
it
worry.
Now. it is weirder, but I still think putting an ice cube into something that is already from the fridge, like, milk's pretty cold.
But I know people who water down milk.
So then, all right, but that's the thing. Why didn't he just freeze milk and put milk ice cubes into his cereal?
Sure, Jesus, he'll just be sitting there waiting for them to, like...
But he will anyway.
He's clearly doing it because he thinks he just wants his cereal just frozen. Like that's
or he's like people. When was Kiss last relevant?
I was just
oh Jesus, they're still a thing.
Oh no, like I mean I love a bit of Kiss, but like what has he specifically done recently that's like that makes him relevant to why like it's like I'm gonna be really zany here, be cool with the kids and say something
no,
really
because,
stupid.
No, because I think I saw a comment from one of his fellow band members that said, do you people now see what I've had to put up with for 40 years?
Which bandmate was it? Was he on Twitter as well? I'd rather like...
Yeah. Out of all of the career of Kiss, that's all he's saying. You see what I had to put up for my entire time of Kiss?
Yeah.
Ice cubes and cereal. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like... I think it's just it's fine, I guess. I wouldn't as I said, I know people who have milk watered down, which is
well, that's just disgusting.
Well, there you go. Do you know? So maybe Gene Simmons is just posher than all of us.
Maybe.
Darren wants to know, as it's just after Christmas, a question about presents. What was a favourite one you received and the favourite one you gifted, i.e. the best reaction or one that you felt was particularly well suited, and a present that you got that will likely be re-gifted?
Right.
Yep.
What's oh, the God. Most... No. What's the like most... Other than behind socks and pants, what gift is like a stereotypical shit present to receive?
Deodorant or smellies?
Yep, what kind?
Lynx.
Lynx Africa.
Fucking Lynx Africa off my parents' dinner.
They're not listeners then?
No. Like, I love them to bits, right? But
of course,
fucking hell. Like, they were like, I've got you an extra present because they got me, because my parents are still lovely and they still buy me an actual present like a... Like, And they were like, we've got you something else, a little something else as well. I was like, oh, cool. And then I saw this big box, and I was like, ooh, what's this? It was a...
Your supply of
Lynx Africa.
It was a can of Lynx Africa. It was Lynx Africa shower gel and a Lynx, like, shower... I don't know what they're fucking called. Like a scrubber thing. Like a sponge.
Shower gel?
No, it's like a sponge on a rope, but it's like you use it to lather yourself up. There you go. That's an image for you guys.
It is.
But yeah, Lynx Africa. That's probably the shittest. That's one. There you go.
But he didn't actually ask that.
He said, all right, then, I'd re-gift.
No, he said...
I'd re-gift it.
He said, what was the favourite one you got? No, oh, okay, yeah,
a present
point.
You got that will likely be re-gifted.
Yeah, okay,
so I was going
fair.
For the negative first.
Okay. Favourite one you received? Well, mine would probably be Yoshi's Crafted World, because I don't miss many games, but I really wanted to play that, and I got that, so...
I'd say... My favorite one is my PlayStation. Just when I got PlayStation and Tekken.
No, but this is this Christmas.
Oh, this Christmas!
You get Tekken and a PlayStation for Christmas. That's fucking bad. Awesome.
Like... I'd rather Lynx Africa, no, to be honest, than play Tekken one. That's a good answer. This Christmas, oh bollocks!
I think so.
Yeah, I would say.
What was the favorite one?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's this Christmas.
Well, I will say the one I gifted, but I mean, we got our kids the football shirts for their team they love, and I always love it because then they just live in those shirts, and it's like they really appreciate those shirts, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm quite happy with that. I haven't got one I'd re-gift. I don't tend to get a lot of gifts on Christmas Day because we spend most of our money on other people, so I don't tend to get... If I do get stuff, it's stuff I want. Like, you know, because you mentioned about the pants and the socks. Like, I got socks this year. I genuinely am at the age where I appreciate a nice pair of socks. So I'm not going to diss socks. Like, I really appreciate having some new, fresh socks. Because when you put a pair of socks on for the first time, it's lovely. And I'm not gonna hear your slander against socks.
I wasn't going to.
I'm all there with you, man. Love a sock.
I got some cool stuff, which I'm very grateful for. There's this shop in Derby, and it sells like load of stationery and just random bits and pieces. And there's this cushion that...
Rich, did someone buy you a shop?
Yeah. No. They bought me a cushion shaped... My wife bought me a cushion shaped like a burger, and it's a big fucking cushion, and it's incredibly comfortable, and like I didn't ask for that, but it's the kind of thing when you're in a relationship, they just know. And she bought me that. Very, very grateful for that. I got some personalised art. I got a Marvel book which goes into the history of Marvel, and it was very cool. Yeah, I got lots of nice little things. Some Peaky Blinders ale, whiskey. Oh, some nice little bits and pieces. I was very happy.
Good stuff.
And the favourite one gifted, I don't know. I always give amazing presents.
I gotta say though, right? Is it just me, right? But
likely, maybe, yes. But go on.
Like, I don't know, but at Christmas, you know, I find myself a very easy person to buy a present for. If you're gonna buy me a present, I'm like, you're all right, you know. There's some people I know, and I'm like, what do I get this person, you know? And then you get a present, and I'd look at it and I go, why? Like, why? I'm like, cheers, but why? Do you know, like, and it kind of leads into, like, I remember somebody bought me, like, I know it's only kind of a token, I guess, but there's a massive thing that when you get, like, older, I don't know when it all starts becoming okay to just be giving you, like, bottles of wine or Prosecco and stuff, and you're like, you're like, all right, okay, cool, like, cheers, I guess, you know, but, like... Do you know about 10 years ago? There, you bought me a PlayStation game. Where's that gone? Do you know, like,
yeah,
like
they've grown like, up, Adam, but you haven't.
Like, I don't really remember signing a contract that said like I want this instead. So like, I kind of
used to spend 40, but now it's 8.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and you turn around and you go, "It's fucking LD2, huh? How about that?"
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking. But like, I do end up like regifting sometimes. Those kind of things, because you're just like, well, no, I just look like an absolute alcoholic with all this alcohol it's in my house. Yeah. So I'm like, pass it on. Do you know what I mean? I bought a suit this Christmas, though.
That's, well, fair enough.
It's a fucking good present, man, to me.
It is, yeah, it is.
With my Prosecco, me and my suit, my Prosecco are red.
Yeah, I bet you look good.
Damn right I do.
Speaking of Prosecco and the suit... David Ayers, this is a nice easy one. We can just go around the room. I've got my answer prepared. What video game characters would be best for a night out? I'm going to jump in. I'm going to say Sully from the
Oh!
Yeah, he'd be mighty crack.
Oh, not
yeah.
Drake, Sully.
Yeah. I don't have anyone prepared. I was thinking, but I just keep saying negatives with them.
Juliet Starling.
Okay.
Would you not?
Why?
Yeah, it'd be a bit of crack with the chainsaw and stuff, no?
The lollipop chainsaw character?
Yeah. She's hilarious in that game.
Is she Sully. Is she not Juliet's, underage? I don't want to go
into that. She's celebrating her 18th. She's celebrating her 18th birthday in that game. Legally, she's allowed to come to the pub in Ireland. Juliet Starling, Sully, and Kratos...
Kratos was one of the people I was thinking of, but he'd be shit. He'd just be, he'd take wouldn't forever be. To light up. No, he would.
Would you imagine, though, like, Last Orders, the lights would start flashing, he'd just fucking take out the blades and just rip the place apart. You'd be like,
do you want to go to the pub, Kratos? No, I'm too... No, boy. Too busy dwelling on...
Kratos.
Yeah, no.
Why?
I thought about Duke Nukem, but I can imagine after a few beers he gets a bit racist. Nah.
Yeah.
A bit seedy, yeah.
All of them. All of the ists.
Yeah.
All the ears.
Yeah.
Homophobia. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think. There's got to be somebody, but...
I mean, maybe Tom Nook. I mean, at least he'd have some bank. You know? He shouldn't be short of a few bob for a round, should he?
No.
Dr. Kawashima.
Oh, yeah.
Just his
Absolutely
head.
Absolutely not. Mario.
Ah, fucking Mario, why? I love Mario as much as next year, but he, like, what would he be up to?
All right, Luigi.
Ah, he'll do.
Yeah, he'll do. Matt King wants to know, will we ever see more Max Payne? I may be in a minority, but Max Payne 3 was definitely high up my favourite list of that generation. I wouldn't go high up on the list, but I did really enjoy Max Payne 3.
Yeah.
Will we ever see more Max Payne? I mean, ever's a long time.
I would love to see more Max Payne at some point.
Yeah, but will we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, what? No. Why? What? They don't need to, do they?
I don't think it fits with the sort of societal changes.
I think, like, for Max Payne to return, the actual gameplay would need to step up massively in terms of, like, what it would do. Because if you think about it, Max Payne was really known for the bullet time. So, like...
Yeah.
And it, obviously, the story is I love 1 and 2. I had an alright time with 3. But, like, 3 was where it really showed more visual style. But it kind of took away a lot of what you kind of loved.
Mm.
In ways, like, there was a lot of cutscenes taking over for your gameplay choices and stuff like that. I think, like, if Max Payne was to return... It's hard because... Would Max Payne go really bombastic or super grim and dark?
It's pretty, it's pretty old as well. Like, it'd have to be they'd have to do a remake or something, wouldn't they? Because he was bald, fat, and just a bit past it in Max Payne 3.
I did like how he was in 3.
I know, like, it was good, but it was...
I remember it looking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they've done that art. I think it's done.
Well, it's Rockstars now, isn't it? They just don't seem to be a... three game studio. You know, like, whatever they're working on next is probably not Max Payne, and I doubt they're in any rush to reveal anything anyway, because Red Dead's just come to PC. That's got a long way to go. Will we ever see more of Max Payne? I would never say never, but I think I don't see why they would, really, right now. Lastly this week, it's New Year. We have to ask this one. We've got a few we've saving for next week, but this one we've got to ask this week, really. It's New Year, so obviously we're all being urged to get fit, buy sofas, and make resolutions we'll never keep. Do any of your team make New Year's resolutions? And if so, what are they?
I don't make resolutions, because if you don't see them through, you're disappointed. So don't make resolutions and you'll never be disappointed.
Okay.
I don't make any, because I don't see the point.
No, I'm with you. I feel like it's putting yourself under needless pressure. If you want to do something, do it.
Don't just wait for a new year. Like, if you want to get fit, start at the end of November. If you're thinking about it at the end of November, do it then. Don't wait. You should kind of, if you ever want to do anything, you should go out and do it.
But I think deep down it's just a... A thing, though, isn't it? It's like a clean slate, new year.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I think
the
I totally agree with what you're saying and all that. But I'm not somebody who really goes for that. But I do think in my head, like, I'll do this a lot more, kind of this year and stuff. I think personally, I just want to really stay as positive as possible in a lot more ways than. I let myself fall down a small bit by other people's behaviour, and not to get all that way, but, you know, there's certain situations where I'm like, fuck's sake, I get annoyed by that person's situation or what's going on here, and I just want to completely and utterly clear that and just focus on myself and my own head and just enjoy what it is, kind of cutting a lot of internet time as well, like that. Reading more books. I know they're cliche things to say, but
I don't think they are.
Well, if they're not, then great. But if they are cliche, I still don't care, because they're something to me that I'm not an internet addict to say, but I do check it as much as everyone else does. And I just don't need it. And Just to be a lot more happier each day and be like, cool, and just crack on and talk to the people I care for and all that jazz.
Yeah, I mean, for me, not resolutions, but I genuinely have decided I'm going to get fitter this year. I'm not saying get fit, because I don't know if that's...
You're on it already, man.
This is what I'm saying. I'm not going to be a guy who goes down the gym. I can't do that. Not yet. But I did lose a lot of weight last year, and then I put it all back on, and I'm really disappointed with myself, and I want to do that again this year, and I want to do it properly, but I want to do it my way, which is by eating healthier and exercising regularly and just not depriving myself of anything nice, because I think that makes you miserable long term. And I also, kind of similar to yourself, I want to be less social media and more social interactions. I want to get out and a bit, you know, get on the pub now and again with my wife and my kids and the friends, and I want to see people in person more and chat online less. Simple stuff, but I think those things make me happier mm-hmm. as an overall person. And if you want to make a... No, I can't. I was going to do the Patreon thing.
And your New Year's resolution should be signing up to yeah, Patreon.
If you want to make us happier, go to patreon.com. It felt... I couldn't do it, but I do have to remind people at the start of this year, because we have changed our Patreon up massively, there are distinct tiers now where one of them you will get brand new, exclusive to Patreon for $5 a month. You will get a food podcast called Fork Off. The dollar a month still gets you this podcast early, and so you know that's fine if that's what you want to do. That dollar a month does go straight to the site and the people on it, and that helps us. Say $10 up, you get exclusive videos, a swag drop where we're going to give away stuff that's been kicking around in our various offices for, you know, years. It's people will like or not. We don't know. It'd be a random drop box almost. And obviously, there is still the God is a Geek t-shirt for the $30 tier and up. But we do put a lot of effort into the Patreon, and there's more than ever going in this year because it's grown and we're growing with it. So that's patreon.com/godisageek. And if you don't want to do that, even just going to youtube.com/godisageek, subscribing, hitting the bell button so that you're notified of new videos helps us enormously. That channel's grown as well rapidly, and that we really put a lot of time into the site in the back half of last year, and it's paid dividends, but it can pay more than dividends. It can pay actual, you know, advertising cash, for want of a better phrase. But that's it. That's the last of the plugging. I'm not going to do a massive plug like that every week, but I might drop one at the beginning of a podcast to remind people at the start what we can offer that isn't just your weekly podcast or your daily videos or whatever you're getting from God is a Geek that you love. Hopefully it's us, and that's who you're backing if you get a Patreon. You're backing us as people. Thank you to Adam and Christopher for being here today.
Thank you.
I am off to have a good bash, as Adam mentioned earlier, and we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.